The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Malcolm Hoenlein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations, and our colleague Eken Erdemir, the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, is here to help us understand Turkey, the very powerful state of Turkey, Asia Minor, and its influence in the region is outsized. We begin, however, with a breaking news story from Jerusalem. I read from the Jerusalem Post. After a week of being detained on false charges in Turkey, an Israeli couple was able to return home. The Israeli foreign ministry and leadership had scrambled to bring them back. Eken, a good evening to you. How did this detention serve Erdogan's government in Turkey? We understand the alienation. We understand the anti-Semitism. But why detain the couple? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Good evening, Malcolm. Always a pleasure to join you two. So this is the final episode of Erdogan's ill-advised hostage diplomacy. Since Turkey's failed coup attempt in 2016, the Turkish government has detained on spurious charges over 50 Western nationals and permanent residents, hoping to use them as bargaining chips in extracting concessions from their respective governments. And the Israeli couple ended up being the latest victim here. You know, they were simply visiting the Çamlıca telecommunications tower, which Erdogan inaugurated earlier this year amid great fanfare. And they were simply, you know, enjoying the viewing deck and taking photos. And they suddenly ended up in solitary confinement, being accused of political and military espionage. Now, the same charge was launched against U.S. Pastor Andrew Brunson, who spent 2 years under those false accusations. So there was great anxiety in Jerusalem about the future of the Öknen family. But through back-channel diplomacy and shaming, global shaming, the Erdogan government has finally let them leave as of this morning. But, you know, the key question is, you know, why scapegoat them beyond the usual logic, which is anti-Semitism, which is really widespread in Turkey and especially among the ranks of the Erdogan government. But we have to take into consideration the ongoing meltdown of the Turkish lira. You know, since the Öknens were detained, the Turkish lira itself lost over 10% of its value against U.S. dollar. So this is in less than a week. So Erdogan needs all sorts of distractions and needs to point the finger to, you know, foreign elements and foreign conspiracies to whitewash his own mismanagement and corruption, which has brought Turkey to the brink of an economic crisis.
Malcolm?
Does he resort to that as well in his appeals to anti-Semitism? I know early in his career, he was identified as having engaged in blatant anti-Semitism, and then he seemed to tone it down. But now you see the references, some direct, some indirect, in his comments. And yet he tries to maintain ties with the Jewish communities abroad and domestic. So how does this rhetorical balancing act work, and what does he gain from it?
Indeed, it is a balancing act, and I just had an op-ed in the Jerusalem Post where I explain these set of contradictions. I argue that, on the one hand, Erdogan carefully uses anti-Semitic dog whistles so that he has some plausible deniability. Instead of pointing the finger directly at Jews, he'll say the interest rate lobby, or he'll refer to them as the mastermind. And he will blame the failings of the Turkish economy to a plot, to a secret cabal. And within Turkey, of course, everyone knows what he is referring to when he says the interest rate lobby. And in fact, the current meltdown in the Turkish lira and the ensuing crisis in the Turkish economy actually results from Erdogan's obsession with interest rates. You know, Erdogan is waging a battle against interest rates, that which is called his peculiar unorthodox economics. But if you dig deep into his obsession with interest rates, it goes back to his obsession with anti-Semitism. You know, he has been raised with this hateful ideology. He has spent his youth propagating all sorts of anti-Semitic myths. And now he has fallen victim to his own biases and prejudices, which is literally making him commit economic suicide.
If I read correctly, the Turkish lira has gone to all-time new lows, lower than lows. The evidence then is that Erdogan's policies are not working. Is there anybody pushing back? Is there anybody who can contain his ideas?
I think anyone who is sane and who has taken economics 101 is telling Erdogan, look, you have to follow the global economic wisdom. If you want to fight inflation and devaluation, you really need to raise the policy rate of the Turkish Central Bank. But Erdogan has not only destroyed the independence of the Turkish Central Bank, but he's literally dictating the bank to lower policy rates. And this irrational policy, this self-destructive policy, as I have argued in a number of foreign policy op-eds before, all stem from Erdogan's anti-Semitic conspiracy theories. Like, he thinks he's waging a global war against a global interest rate lobby, and he believes this lobby, quote-unquote lobby, to be behind all evils in the world. But ultimately, Erdogan needs to take a look at the mirror and see himself as the historic, you know, destroyer of Turkey's wealth and economy.
Malcolm?
Can you talk a little bit about the situation on the border where we see that Erdogan has launched some offensive against the Kurdistan Workers Party and the Syrian Democratic Forces? Do you see this as having some objective, the strategic objective, and will it continue?
Now, there are two different dynamics at work here. On the one hand, Erdogan has been threatening a major cross-border operation, which would be a fourth operation by the Turkish troops, as well as Ankara's Islamist Syrian proxies. But given the pushback not only from Washington, but also from Moscow, Erdogan has not had an opportunity to follow through with his threats. But at the same time, as we speak, there is an ongoing war of attrition. What Al-Monitor's Middle East, senior reporter Amberin Zaman calls a war of attrition. This is a never-ending, low-intensity targeting of Syrian Democratic Forces-controlled areas and the targeting of the Kurds, Yazidis, Syriac Christians, and Armenians in that region as Erdogan's proxies, you know, gain inch by inch either territory or influence in these war-torn lands.
Mr. Erdogan has long had relationships with world leadership. I note recently he talks to European leaders like Angela Merkel routinely. Has that in any fashion influenced his decision-making, that he's part of a community of nations, part of NATO?
Now, when it comes to NATO and the Council of Europe, Erdogan has been a spoiler, has been a rogue member. We have seen numerous times how Erdogan watered down NATO's rhetoric and policy to push back against Russia and Belarus. But when it comes to the Council of Europe, of which Turkey has been a member from the very start, Turkey is now on the verge of being pushed out because it refuses to do what is necessary concerning the European Court of Human Rights rulings against Ankara. Now, there is a third institution, that is the European Union, of which Turkey would like to become a member of, but has failed to fulfill any of the requirements, especially those concerning democracy and the rule of law. So on that front, we have seen the European Union, for the most part, follow an appeasement policy. Why? Because Erdogan has this trump card, namely, he has the ability to weaponize Syrian refugee flows into the European Union. And so for the most part, we only hear statements of concern or light and symbolic sanctions coming from Brussels, but never a real concerted pushback.
Dr. Ekin Erdemir is Senior Director of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy's Turkey Program, Malcolm Honlein Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batch.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.